Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast feed over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We're getting ready for Game 3 of the NFL season. The Patriots go to the Buffalo Bills this Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And we welcome you inside Patriots Playbook. I'm John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. Coming up in 20 minutes, Mark Kelso, former safety for the Buffalo Bills, current analyst on the Bills Radio Network. We'll talk to Mark about this 2-0 start that these Buffalo Bills have. And how is this Buffalo team different from what we saw a year ago or 2 years ago or 6 years ago or 8 years ago, the last time the Patriots actually lost to the Buffalo Bills.
Eight years ago.
Yeah. Good grief. That's extraordinary in this day and age of parity.
Especially
in all of
for
sport.
A division rival. You're familiar with, you see them so often.
You'd think nothing of a split. In fact, most years you look at all of your divisional opponents and say, all right, we got to get a split. You don't think of sweep. Mm. But the Patriots have done it now. Seven straight years of sweeps. Seven and a half, technically, straight of sweeps.
Yep.
Since they lost the season opener in 2003.
Yep.
They did come back later that year, and as I'm sure fans will recall.
Mirror image.
A 31-0 whitewashing in December of 2003 started the streak. And so you've gone 7.5 years now of beating these guys, and you've beaten them in all manner of whipping them. I mean, you've beat the crap out of them.
Yep.
You've won close games.
Overtime.
So when does the streak end? That clearly is going to be. In fact, I know that, both sides, both locker rooms downplay the streak. No one even wants to acknowledge the streak for obvious reasons, because if you acknowledge the streak here in New England, it's kind of like, well, A, you're just going to jinx yourself and it doesn't do any good. And B, if you're Buffalo, well, why would you want to, recognize something that's clearly an embarrassment. It's one of those statistical, strange, lovable, if you're on the right side of them, anomalies in sports that sometimes just grow a life of their own. And that's exactly what this one is doing. It's growing a life of its own. Now, I don't really believe that there are too many people within earshot of us, Eric, right now, that think that this streak won't get to 16. I know that you're hedging just a little bit.
I'm concerned about it. I legitimately am.
Okay. I want you, before we get into the practice report and get into some, because we do have some news that we need to get to today off the top of the show, but I want you to tell me what specifically concerns you about the matchup with Buffalo. At Buffalo, when you take all of the stats and all of the things into the equation and you put them all together.
It's a visceral thing for me more than it is a stat thing.
Word of the day. Visceral. Okay. I love this when we need to find
Fragile.
That's Italian.
Must be Italian.
That's right. Bill's offense is playing very well. They've added some they've gotten confidence. They've added a couple of key players. And the weakness on the Patriots right now clearly is their defense, particularly their secondary and their pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill's strength against Patriots' weakness. Now you flip it around, New England's offense obviously is their strength, and the Bills, kind of the similar thing. They're somewhat improved on defense with some of the new additions they have, but still a weakness, particularly in their secondary. So I think it's a very evenly matched, and for once it's almost identical problems. Offenses are great, defenses are so-so, a little shaky. And I just worry that we could see, everybody expects Tom Brady to have a great game because he usually does. But like I said, every once in a while, I said this yesterday, I think, you get a Cleveland game from last year where everything goes wrong and you can tell from the start that the team's just not into it. And I just worry that those things usually happen when you least expect them to.
This early in the season?
You never know, John. I mean, look, when was it? 04 when they went on that long streak? And they lost to Washington in a very bad game at FedEx Field, and then they went on to win the rest of their games. That was early on. That was, I think, in September of that year. Mm. So, yeah, it can happen this early. I don't know. I just one of those weeks where I just don't have a good feeling. I haven't had a good feeling from the start.
How did you do with weeks that you didn't have a good feeling about last year? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even keep track of that kind of thing. All I know is I went 14-2 last week in the picks.
Okay. You went 14-2.
What I think is the toughest
against
week
the
to pick.
Spread, by the way.
No.
Oh, just
straight up.
Straight up.
Okay. I didn't do so well against the spread.
You should start keeping a Scalavino tally on these feelings that are these weeks that he doesn't have good feelings.
We're going to start it now. Okay. Eric says he didn't have a good feeling.
I had a good feeling about week one. I was fine with that.
You were fine. Were you fine about week two?
I was okay. I thought it would be. I felt confident that they would win. I just thought it would be close.
Well, it was until the last score,
and it was. I just haven't had a good feeling about this one all week. I really am concerned that they could lose this game.
Okay, here's where I think to me, I mean, I realize that 2 weeks does not a trend make. Buffalo right now is the number one rushing team in the NFL. It's a little crazy to think, but, Fred Jackson obviously has had an outstanding start to the season.
Turbo?
So 193 yards per game on the ground. I actually think that kind of plays into whatever strength the Patriots have on defense. I think the Patriots have done a decent enough job against the run. I think we've seen that the secondary right now still has its question marks. I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick can take advantage of it. Without a Roscoe Parrish, whether or not a C.J. Spiller becomes more involved in the passing game, as we were led to believe that it could very well happen as early as yesterday when we were talking a little bit. So I, like you, know that every once in a while Tom Brady is going to have an un-Brady-like week. I don't know that it happens here. I'm looking for the correct adjective. If it was a let's just say it, better football team than Buffalo, okay? I mean, and I'm trying not to take away from Buffalo's 2-0 start, because I have to admit, it's a little surprising. I did not think they would beat Kansas City in week one, and they beat the crap out of Kansas City. I wasn't sure that they could beat Oakland last week, and they came from behind and won it in spectacular fashion in the last seconds. So, already this team has exceeded, Buffalo that is, in my expectations. Now, I don't cover the Bills as closely as those in Buffalo cover it, which is why, Mark Kelso's going to join us in just a little bit, because I really want his perspective. What about this team is better? But based on what I've been able to see from the highlights, from the clips, what I've been able to read about them this week, as long as Brady doesn't have an un-Brady-like day, I don't see any way that this Buffalo team wins the game. Now, by how much, obviously, is a completely different manner. You still have the Patriots winning. Mm-hmm. You just have the Bills covering that 8.5.
Oh, yeah.
8.5 is a pretty tough nut.
It's a pretty tough number on the road.
On the road.
A team that's playing well offensively.
A team that's playing well offensively, and a team that has some emotion on its side, and a team that would like nothing better than get this 15-game albatross off of its shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they say it doesn't matter, mule muffins!
I don't think I've ever heard that one. Is that a Texas...
Yes, I have said that. Don't you remember? Doesn't anybody remember Colonel Potter from the MASH series?
That's
what he used to say all the time. Mule muffins.
Oh, I never really picked up on that.
Yes, that's exactly what he says, and I'm here to say that it's mule muffins. It absolutely means, I don't think it matters.
I was so young when I was watching MASH, John, that a lot of that stuff went
over
my head.
Just shut up. I got more hair than you do. Shut up. Thank you. Of course, I got more hair than Kevin has too. So
he's got more hair than Eric.
He's got more hair than both of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm proud of it.
God bless you.
Oh, I don't think that the Patriots will lose this game. Like you, and kind of like the San Diego game, I think that Buffalo could end up backdoor covering on this. My initial impression, and I normally save this for toward the end, but I'll give it to you off the top. And by the way, webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. Email 508-298-0398.
You had to think about it for a second.
I had to think about it. 298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And, of course, the Facebook page is up and running. John Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. If you haven't made the friend request, do so. We'll answer the friend request. Then you can post, you can message, and, yes, you may chat via Facebook. can also follow me on Twitter, at jrook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. That's the Twitter address. And I, by the way, yeah. I'm very grateful for the, since the football season started, very grateful for the 50 or 60 new Twitter followers. Picked up a nice little chunk. So that's great. I try to give you some content. I don't, I'm not going to tweet every, 10 minutes like some people do. I'm not into it for that. When I tweet, it's meaningful. I'm going to give it to you that way. Okay.
That's right.
I do like Twitter. I actually think Twitter.
It's effective when it's used.
It's an effective way to use medium. Yeah, if it's used properly. I found myself following more people because of breaking news stories with everything that's going on in the pros and certainly in college athletics these days.
The problem is some of those people who break those stories abuse the privilege.
They abuse the privilege. And they
telling
also
you about themselves.
Yeah, and they also end up recanting it a lot lately. So, you know, I'm not sure who to trust yet. So I tend to sort of follow people who, have a track record. And so I hope that, you'll, if you follow me, then you'll learn that I've got a little bit of a track record. And I'm going to send you stuff that I absolutely 110% know. In fact, a lot of the times, Eric, I retweet things from people that I respect.
Sure.
People that I know have the inside scoop. I don't mind it if someone, quote unquote, gets a scoop because people are doing their jobs. I mean, I think everybody realizes I've got 75 different jobs. So a lot, sometimes it's difficult for me to plant myself in one place long enough to do that. But that's not really what I do. My business is not really getting a scoop. My business is covering games, doing play-by-play, hosting talk shows. And when information does come my way, I share it with the people I know that need it most, and that's the people who follow. I think that's really what Twitter should be about. I think it's great. You know, it's a great way to connect with friends and stuff like that. But, friends is, I think for Facebook. Twitter is for fans and for people who want to know.
Well, and if you're friends with someone on Twitter...
And that's fine, too, by the way.
Which is fine. Direct message them. Don't have a conversation for all the world to see.
For all the world to see. I agree with that part. That's kind of why I like Twitter in a lot of ways. It's kind of grown on me. I've only had a Twitter account for a little over a year. And I've had Facebook for about 2 years. And I was kind of reluctant to get into Twitter, but then now that I've gotten into it, I realize that sometimes it can be more direct than Facebook in a lot of ways.
I've
found myself messaging on Facebook a heck of a lot more than I used to. Mm-hmm. And now Facebook has to go and screw things up this week with the new format and everything. Have you taken a look at it this week?
No, I'm hardly ever on there.
I've got so many people now that are saying, oh, let's go to Google+, let's do this. And I'm like, come on.
I'm hardly ever on there.
You know what? I mean, to me, it's just like everybody seems to be trying to find the next great thing. And I'm just like, just chill, all right? Yeah. Just chill. This is not rocket science we're talking about here. You want to go to Google+, we'll go to Google+. But, let's sit with something for a while. I've built this up for a while. This is a nice way to connect with friends and family, people you work with, Patriots fans especially. I'm going to let it ride for a little while. As long as I can have access to it, as long as I can understand it somewhat, and I'm not the most brilliant rocket scientist when it comes to the web and a lot of things, although I did build my own website, thank you very much.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 1999, I taught myself HTML.
Wow.
It's a long time ago.
They might have upgraded since then.
I think they have. But I'm still doing it in 1999 terms. But it's true. It's true. So, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm going to let it ride for a while.
Flash meant something different to you back then, didn't it?
Yeah, a lot. Flash, yeah, really. Woohoo! All right, let's get to the practice report, Eric, because I know that we did have some roster moves made today. If those that are just tuning in or didn't catch the end of a PFW, they're probably going to need to know about.
Well, okay, let's start. I'll start with the absentee list, because I think that's a little bit more important than the transactions that were made.
Yeah.
Six players, up from five yesterday, now no longer on the field. Four from yesterday were Chung, Vollmer, Hernandez, and Wright.
Mm-hmm.
They were all absent again
today. Plus,
you can add Dan Gronkowski, who made the injury report with a hamstring, the same one I believe that was bothering him last week that made him limited in practice. He was limited yesterday. He wasn't out there for the start. And Albert Haynesworth, who we did see leave the Charger game briefly, was getting stretched on the sideline for one of his legs.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. He was there yesterday and wasn't even listed on the injury report, so something either was re-aggravated or something new cropped up. Don't know, but so that makes six. The one guy from yesterday who made it back was Kyle Arrington, suffered a concussion against the Chargers, but he was spotted out there today, so... That's good news for his timetable for recovery, because most people who have concussions, with the new protocols that they have league-wide, for baseline testing and so forth, it's more difficult for a player to come back within a week of having one of those. So that's potentially good news if that trend continues tomorrow and into Sunday.
Okay.
Now, as for the transactions, linebackers swapped. A.J. Eads, off. Jeff Tarpinian from the practice squad goes up to the active roster.
Why do you think Eads was let go?
It's a good question.
He did play quite a bit this last week.
He played actually the first couple of games,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
They really love this Tarpinian kid.
I know they do. I've known this. We talked about this during training camp.
I think whatever they can do to get him on the active roster, they will do. And they must have figured, well, we already have one former Iowa linebacker on the roster and A.J. Eads. Let's get the one we really like in Tarpinian and move him up. I really don't know what the fascination is, but they see something that they like, and they're doing anything and everything they can to keep
this
kid active.
Why would they have not replaced? Eads didn't have an opportunity to go to the practice squad to be demoted?
Well, I think he did, but you can't just go directly.
Well, you can't go regularly to it. You got to cut him, see if somebody picks you up, and then he could be re-signed.
Right. Okay. But they did make a move on the practice squad already. They added a defensive back, rookie Josh Victorian from Louisiana Tech, spent some time with Baltimore this year in their training camp.
They couldn't re-sign Eads and just let somebody else go.
If he
clears waivers.
Exactly. But for now, that's what they're going with.
Right.
And one other little note on the health front. Zoltan Mesko, who was there yesterday, was there again today during stretching when the team sort of runs from sideline to sideline. Yesterday, he was on the stationary bike trying to work out the left knee.
Today he was
with them jogging, but he was laboring it wasn't smooth. You could tell there was still something wrong.
I know that we still
have not yet seen him kick a ball.
Okay.
since then.
Well, we know that they did bring in a couple of punters yesterday to work out.
You have any names?
Their names escape me.
Anybody? I mean, would you have recognized the names?
Yes, both of them. In fact, I recognized. I'll have to look it up. Why don't you look it up? I was reading it. I think Mike Reese had it. Where I was originally seeing it. I'd heard that they had brought in a couple of punters. I didn't know until I actually got home and did the research on it. But there were a couple of guys that they did bring in, but they just haven't signed anybody yet.
Matt Dodge.
Dodge.
Who was with the Giants.
Giants last year.
Didn't realize they got rid of him.
Yeah, that I'd remembered. They cut him during
training camp?
During training camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Capinos.
Capinos was the other one, right.
Who was with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Took the place of Sepulveda.
Yes.
Sepulveda, however you pronounce that.
Right.
When he got hurt a couple of years ago. So
either one would be certainly acceptable as far as punters go, but I would think that Capinos probably, for whatever reason, would be the favorite only because he's a left-footed one.
And they have a penchant for left-footed punters. That's the only thing I can
come up with on that one. So at any rate, they did bring in a couple of guys. We don't know who they favored, but if Mesko can't go, my guess is they've got somebody on standby ready to roll. So somebody will come in and be able to kick. Now,
it looks like they really are hoping that he's fine because they would have done something by now to bring somebody
into practice with. The other issue is that Mesko is also the holder on extra points and field goal tries.
Which is probably why they're holding off.
So they're probably holding off on that, although I'm led to believe that Brian Hoyer is the backup where that's concerned.
Yeah.
So they could bring
That's what we've seen.
Yes,
yeah.
They could go ahead and just bring in Brian Hoyer to hold. But then again, you know, we also know that special teams are a little bit of a different breed. You really need to have some continuity there between long snapper, holder, and kicker.
And you haven't had that over the last
three years. No continuity at all. None. Zero.
As stable a position or position group that was for the earlier part of the decade, the last few years it has not been.
Nope.
And they've been lucky that it hasn't cost them
games. Very much so. All right, the other question I have for you is, yesterday this came up in the second hour of the program. I want your thoughts on it because the reason that I gave for it jibed a little bit with a couple of guys that that I respect greatly, Reese being one of them from ESPN Boston. But why Landon Cohen come in and take Myron Pryor's spot as Pryor was put on IR yesterday? Why Landon Cohen over a guy like Gerard Warren, who we all assumed that when he was cut late in the preseason would be a week one signee to the roster?
That's a great question, and I've been mulling it over for the last half hour or so when you asked me about it before the show. What I've come up with is this. There are still some guys on the PUP who after week six The team has to decide what they want to do with them. They can activate them, which means they have to go to the 53-man roster. They can cut them, or they can put them on IR, ending their season and, you know, kicking that can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is they need some players on the 53 who they can cut and it won't hurt them too much. When week 7, 8, 9 rolls around, they have a three-week window after those guys get off the PUP to decide what to do with them. They need some guys on the roster who they can dispense with. A.J. Eads was one of them, as we saw. Landon Cohen could be one of those guys who he's a stopgap for now, and when they need to make a, you know, bring up, let's say, either a Brandon Dedrick or a Ron Brace, one of those guys, they can it'll be a wash. You bring up a defensive lineman, you cut a defensive lineman. The other thing, later in the year, as we saw last year in December, defensive line got hit really hard with injuries, and they were bringing guys in literally off the street who hadn't been played, who were playing in the UFL,
mm-hmm.
guys who were starting the week that they were brought in.
Yeah, we did see that, didn't we?
And this was on a team that was going on to win 14 games and make the playoffs, and they that was the strength of their team, their defense going in, and it was almost a weakness, a liability going into the playoffs because of all the injuries. If that sort of situation comes up again, they're going to need somebody dependable and reliable to sign and to bring in who can be fresh, who can get into that rotation rather seamlessly as opposed to someone new who they're going to have to teach everything to. Gerard Warren would be the perfect guy to bring in late in the year on an emergency basis and help them through the end of the season into a playoff run.
How do you think Warren, though, feels about this?
He might have agreed to that kind of thing already. They might have talked to him and said, look, here's what we need from you this year.
You're kind of long in the tooth anyway. He's not Methuselah out there, but he's a veteran
right.
guy.
You got banged up last year. You played hurt for us. We appreciate that. We want to try to save you that trouble this year. We want to bring you in when you're fresh, when we really need you, and when you can contribute.
Yeah.
And you can contribute big. We still think you have something to contribute. That's the only rationale I can give
you. I actually think that makes a lot of sense. Beyond... Well, you know, Gerard Warren has played some end in a 3-4, and Landon Cohen is more of a down defensive lineman. So I think that probably has some validity to it, I would think.
Best makes I can think of.
Well, it makes sense anyway. All right. So, and I know we had a few emailers that were asking about that yesterday, so hopefully that answers your question. Hey, the proof will be in the pudding. I mean, if something happens, heaven forbid, something happens to one of the defensive ends, we're going to find out. Or someone happens to another one, another member, let's say, of the defensive front.
Well, that's the thing, too, because
he can go both ways. But the thing is with Warren, he's a guy that doesn't collapse the middle of the pocket as well as some of the others. And I think they preferred Cohen and the ability to collapse the pocket from the inside out rather than outside in.
Maybe. But... the way I look at it is I don't think they can rely on Ron Brace or Brandon Dedrick.
I think Ron Brace is going on the IR after week.
No, he might. I'm just saying when it comes time, they're going to have to do something with these guys. They're going to have to make a decision on them. And if they have to call him up for whatever reason, I don't think they can depend on him to stay healthy and to contribute consistently. I think they can do that with Gerard Warren. So I think they're hedging their bets as long as they can, and when they're ready to pull the trigger on him, I think they will. I would be shocked if Gerard Warren doesn't play for the Patriots this year. I really would.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if at some point he's not a Patriot.
I think
I
still
will be surprised
right.
if he's not on the playoff right. roster.
Okay. All right, let's pause here for a break. You certainly know how to get a hold of us here. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page is up and running. We're going to get Mark Kelso from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network coming up shortly. We need your predictions, guys. Okay, this is Thursday. What do you think is going to happen in this game on Sunday in Buffalo? Does the streak live for another week? Does it go to game 16 in a row? Or does somehow Buffalo find a way to magically pull it off and end the streak? I need your thoughts, your comments, your concerns right here in the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
And the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. Submit the friend request if you haven't already done so. We'll answer that. Then you can post, you can message, and you may chat. This is the 103rd meeting between the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. A lot of history between the two. 15 straight wins, though, is extraordinary. Perhaps even more extraordinary is the fact that Tom Brady is 17-1 as a starter against the same Buffalo Bills in his career with a passer rating of 103. That tells you that Tom Brady has had a lot of great games and has dominated perhaps Buffalo like, well, like few others have dominated Buffalo. I am curious to find out why, or to find out, or to even consider why Tom has had so much success over Buffalo. Has it been because Buffalo has been putrid defensively? Has it been?
That's a good reason.
I mean, I realize that it's probably been the case more than any, but I think it also alludes to sometimes you just, for whatever reason, you seem to have another team's number. Almost an inexplicable thing.
Like they did with the Colts for half of the last decade.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know if it's just personnel matchups or the color of the
psychological
uniform.
I think there's a lot to the psychological game. Come into play, too, I think.
I agree with that. Brady, 17.
Whether or not they want to admit it.
Yeah, I know. The only game he hasn't won was the 31-0 shutout back in September of 2003. He's beaten Buffalo every other time that he has started against the Bills, which is extraordinary. I don't want to undersell the fact, though, that Buffalo is leading the league in scoring right now. They're averaging almost 40 points a game. They're like seventh in the league in total offense, so they're moving the football up and down the field. Again, you got to consider who they've played first couple of weeks in Kansas City and Oakland, but nevertheless, you still have to go out there and perform, and they have performed better than admirably. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't think, is the quarterback that everybody, you know, or that anybody thought would really end up being the man coming out of Harvard. But hey, you know what? Let's give the guy some credit. Here's a guy who clearly had a tremendous upside, got an opportunity, made the most of it. And not only made the most of it, but, you know, it's kind of tough to boot him out of the position when he's playing so well. I mean, I think Buffalo looked for just about anybody other than Ryan Fitzpatrick to play quarterback, and now here he is. He's the man.
Well, and let's not forget, too, his first start or his first opportunity. I can't remember if he started, but it was his first opportunity was with St. Louis back when he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he threw for something like 300 and something yards and several TDs. I don't know if you remember that game, but he came in relief either as the starter for that game or right after the game began. I can't remember exactly, but he exploded onto the NFL scene with that game. And he played a couple of he had a couple of decent games for the Rams that year. And then he moved on to Cincinnati, I believe, briefly before going to the Bills. Everywhere he's been, he's had streaks like this, where he's put a couple of good games together, hasn't really been able to do it for a full season because, well, he's played for the Rams and the Bengals, and there hasn't been a whole lot of talent around there. And when he got to Buffalo, that was the case for a while. But now it looks like they finally decided musical chairs at quarterback is over. We've got the guy we think can do it. Let's put some pieces around him. And you're seeing the results. Highest scoring. He's putting up big numbers. He's a competent, a very underrated quarterback, I think.
I have to admit that I really thought that when I heard Brad Smith was going to Buffalo, that I thought, well, you know
to
what?
To compete?
Yeah, I thought he would
really?
Actually get a chance to compete. I did. Why would he go to Buffalo to assume the same role that he basically had with New York?
They pay him a lot of money to go there.
Okay.
He's making more than Fitzpatrick.
Well, that's what I mean. So, all right, so they paid him a lot of money there. I'm a little surprised he hadn't had a chance to compete.
I'm not.
He's Why?
Not, he's not a quarterback.
You don't think so?
No. Brad Smith's a Wildcat guy. He's a receiver. He's a returner. He's all these other things.
He was a pretty good quarterback in college.
Well, so a lot of guys were good quarterbacks. Julian Edelman was a good quarterback in college, too.
Yeah, but I mean, Brad Smith's got size that Edelman doesn't have.
Antoine Randall was a good quarterback in college. Bert Emanuel was a good quarterback
again,
in college.
Again, lack of size. Can't see over the center. That's a problem.
Yeah, but they were also running quarterbacks.
Eric, you could have been a great quarterback in college. But, dude, what are you, 5'9", maybe?
7.
Oh, you're 5'7".
Yeah.
See, I gave you a couple inches there, all right? You weren't going to play quarterback in the NFL.
No.
You can't see over the center.
No, but even if you can see over the center, it doesn't mean you can play quarterback in this league. There are plenty of tall stiffs that have come through. Dan McGuire.
Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf. Do I need to go on?
No. Yeah, been some tall stiffs.
Rick Meyer.
Oh, hey, we don't know how close we came.
Yeah. Oh, I know how close we came.
His name came up so much this last week, you know, during the Drew Bledsoe Hall of Fame induction thing. I got to admit, people forgot. A lot of fans forgot, you know, and they said, oh, it's great, you know, that, you know, Drew's back here and we could do this and do that. And isn't it wonderful that Parcells brought him in? I was like, you're forgetting Parcells didn't want him. Parcells wanted Rick Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, thank God Parcells actually decided to go with the majority rules when that decision was made and was overruled by the Patriots' brain trust at the time.
Yeah. I mean, part of you, thank God it worked out the way it did, but part of you doesn't it? Are you curious, though, at all at what Meyer would have been if he had started his career with Parcells as opposed to where he was?
No. No, not in the least.
Me neither.
And you're asking me the question anyway.
I just, you know, just to toss it out there for debate,
no,
discussion.
Not really. Not
ruminate
really.
Over that for a little bit.
If that had happened, I don't think there's any way the Patriots are where they are right now.
Yeah, you're right.
I just don't think so.
No, you're right.
They
John.
Would not have had that Super Bowl 30
no,
appearance.
Against
31 appearance.
Nope.
And they, you know, against Green Bay that they lost. I don't even know that Bill Parcells sticks around as long as he did. I don't know that Bill Belichick would be here right now.
Oh, everything would have been different. Yeah, absolutely. They probably never would have won a Super Bowl here because they wouldn't have ended up getting Brady and everything. Just it would have been a domino effect.
Yeah.
Would have been disastrous.
Yeah, that's why it's very hard for me to say, hey, let's play what if. I'm like, nah, I don't really think you want to go there because I don't think people realize that, you know, fate is a mighty fickle finger. Didn't they say that once in, I think,
the fickle finger of fate?
Fickle finger of fate, yeah. was a laugh-in line, right?
Yeah.
See,
so.
Now you're dating yourself. You're killing me for being too old. And
I'm a student of history, John.
No,
you
lie like
a
dog.
Things.
You see, you don't remember MASH, but you remember laugh-in, for God's sake.
I don't remember World War II either, but I still know about it.
God. For those that don't know, Laugh-In was an unbelievably successful comedy variety show back in the late 60s and mid to late 60s and early 70s.
I bet you there's a huge portion of our audience that doesn't even know what a variety show is because they don't have such things anymore.
You have to watch, YouTube up Ed Sullivan Show. That's a variety show. Lawrence Welk. That's a variety show.
The closest thing you can come to today, I think, would be Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
That's the closest thing, and that's not even a true variety show.
No, because it's more of a comedy show that has some musical act.
Right.
Right. But that's what, Laugh-In was comedy. It was two guys standing up on stage during the whole thing, you know, with Dan Rowan and Dick Martin. I mean, it was way ahead of its time. It was so edgy. It was even, for 1960 standards, R-rated, and so it did a lot to elevate us into the mindset that we have now. You know, this whole make love not war attitude that we've had for better part of 4+ decades now, 5+ decades, if you will.
Mm.
Okay, there's today's tangent. We're off on it.
Oh, we got 15 more minutes of me being on the show. We could go on a few others.
Well, we could go on a few others. All right. Obviously, we'll catch up with Mark Kelso as soon as we can here. Tim sends this via Facebook. He says, I don't have much hope of seeing Mike Wright suited up again this year, if at all, though I hope I'm wrong and hope he's going to be okay long term. That being said, he could open the door for the PUP candidates to be activated or for Mr. Warren to return. Speaking of PUP, should we expect Vereen to come up with one of those infamous rookie injuries that lands him on IR if Falk is good to go? Two very, very good, one very good point and one very good question by Facebooker Tim today.
I'm really torn about Falk because I like the guy. You know, he's a PFW favorite. He's good to us. I don't know what he's going to be like when he comes back from this injury. I would like to see Vereen get some action before week six comes to a close so that we at least know what we're trading off.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just kick the kid to the side just because, oh, the veteran's back. I'd like to see what we have out of this Vereen guy before making that decision. I'm not sure we're going to get that chance.
I don't think we're going to either.
You know, because, I mean, honestly, Woodhead's been playing well.
We did see Ridley last week.
We did see a little Ridley last week. Ben Jarvis is still basically the same player that he was last year. I don't think there's any surprise there.
Right.
I don't know if there are many opportunities for us to see Vereen. But it's a great question. I don't know. That would probably be what happens.
What would
to him.
Happen? Yeah, I think that's actually probably pretty good prediction. But that will be obviously a discussion for a few weeks on down the line. Of a more immediate nature is the Patriots' trip to Buffalo for a 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Mark Kelso, former Bills safety, I'm sure that many will remember his days as a player in the Buffalo Bills secondary and as part of the Bills radio network as their analyst, along with John Murphy, and he joined us now in Patriots Playbook. Mark, it's John and Eric. Thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys.
Let's just kind of start right off the bat with how legit are the 2-0 Buffalo Bills in your estimation? What's the biggest area of improvement that you've seen this year as opposed to what we saw with this team a year ago?
Well, right now, after two games, you'd have to say the play of the offensive line. I mean, I think they've only given up, I don't even know if they've given up a sack, maybe one all year, and they have come together really well. I think Demetrius Bell has really good talent, but, you know, he struggled a little bit in the preseason against a couple of elite pass rushers when they put him in one-on-one situations. And so I thought they needed to know what they had going into the year, but he's played extremely well, as has the entirety of that offensive line. They've opened holes. They've protected, and consequently the Bills offense has been productive and they've got the ball in the hands of their best offensive player, Fred Jackson, an awful lot of times. I think he's averaging about 18 touches a game, which is what needs to happen if they're going to be successful. So that's a in my mind, that's the brightest spot right now. And obviously, second would probably be the run defense, although they did give up a considerable number of rushing yards against the Raiders last week, but were able to withstand that because of their offensive production.
Mark, am I wrong in assuming that Eric Wood has potential Pro Bowl, capability to him? I loved him at the University of Louisville. I thought he was just a solid kid, and it looks like he's improving now, where he's getting ready to just sort of own things at center.
Yeah, and I haven't studied him the first few games here, and again, he played that position in college, and now has gone back to that from his guard position that he played the first couple of years in the league here. And I think he certainly has great athleticism. He can get out and, you know, climb to the second level very well. He can get out on the run too sometimes, you know, if teams are playing an even front where he can pull and get out and lead that play. And I think he just, you know, he commands the respect of his offensive peers, I think, and he can be the leader there as far as setting pass protection and some of the things that this center has to do in order for your line to function efficiently. So, I mean, I think that's a little premature, you know, only two games in, and he's played against some pretty good guys. There's no question about that, but they're going to have to sustain that production, you know, for a number of weeks here if they're going to be considered a team that's on the rise, and they're going to be able to send guys to the Pro Bowl. But let's see what happens. I mean, they had a great test this past week because they got themselves behind, did not play well in the first half, and because of a number of reasons, and then came out and just couldn't be stopped in the second half, and really didn't make very many mistakes. So let's see if, when they play against a team that's considered one of the NFL's elite, if they can put together the same kind of effort.
Well, that's what I was going to actually follow up with you on, Mark, was as encouraging a start to the season as the Bills have had, is there any sense among fans or media in the area that, okay, it was against the Chiefs, who are a team that seems to be imploding, and it was against the Raiders, a team that hasn't really been consistently good of late. Is anybody concerned that this might just be a mirage right now because of the opponents that they've had?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, mirage or not, they're playing better than they finished the season last year, and the moves that they made in the offseason, the personnel adjustments and the personnel changes that they made have improved this football team, and there's no question about that. And you know, they demonstrate, I don't even like to look at the opponent particularly. I mean, they played a team, and regardless of what the name of the team is, you know, they played a team who was great last year, but who knows what they're going to be like this year. And you know, Kansas City did not play particularly well, but you can't play to the level of your opponent. You have to play to your level and expect them to match that. I think that's the Patriots' philosophy, and hopefully that's the philosophy the Bills are beginning to adopt too. But so they played well against a team that did not play well, and they won big. So that's a good sign. They came back the next week and played a very poor first half, pretty much both offensively and defensively, gave up some big plays defensively, got themselves way behind, but never panicked, showed a lot of character, kind of just kept working and working each play. The game is a collection of good plays and bad plays, and at the end, if you have more good than bad, then you're going to have an opportunity to win. So I think they showed a lot of character in coming from behind against a team that had an outstanding running game last year as well. I think they finished number two in the NFL, so they can grind it out a little bit too. And for a while, the time of possession was lopsided and they keep the ball away from the Bills, but they were able to withstand that as well. So I just kind of look at what they did and how they responded to adversity and how they've played better because they've been able to run the football and have been able to protect Ryan Fitzpatrick, and, you know, regardless of who the opponent is.
Mark, how has Ryan Fitzpatrick improved from last year?
Are we still there?
Yeah. Mark, you still there? We still got him? Hello? Okay, we'll see if...
I cannot hear you anymore, guys.
Okay. Mark, you still there? Hello? Hello? All right. For some reason,
he's got
lost
a cell phone issue.
Let me put him on... I'm going to put him on hold here, so we'll see if Kevin can pick him back up again, but somehow he lost us, so...
Bizarre?
Yeah, a little bizarre. All right, we'll try to get him back on in just a second.
I like what he had to say, though, about looking at it, not looking at a team based on what they did a previous year, because the NFL things change so quickly, year to year, week to week, game to game. It's looking at it's why I always say strength of schedule is one of the most overrated factors that people assess going into a season, because you really don't know how a team is going to perform going into a year based on what they did the
right.
previous year. There's
right.
always so much upheaval,
right.
And intangibles like turnovers. You know, you could have a horrible year turning the ball over. If you correct that, you go from being a 7-9 team to a 12-4 team, just like that. You know, so it's difficult to, and I think Mark made the point there that, you know, they're taking this at face value for what it is. They're a 2-0 team, and they're encouraged by what they've seen.
Part of that is, of course, you know, you can't do anything about the teams that you're playing. They're on the schedule. You got to play what's in front of you, and as you suggested, you got to, you know, you got to play those games.
Yeah.
Mark, you back with us?
Yeah, tell me where I left off, and I'll try to pick up.
Oh, no problem at all.
We could hear you the whole time.
We could hear you. You just couldn't hear us.
So yeah.
Not a problem at all. The question was how has Ryan Fitzpatrick improved over a year ago?
Well, part of that, again, has to do with the offensive line, which I was talking about before. That, I mean, they've played so much better the first two games than they finished the year last year, and part of that was because of injury. I mean, they had so many guys. I don't think they started the same combination of five guys last year more than three or four times. And
right.
that's part of it. I think he has a lot of confidence in his receivers. I think they're more comfortable with the offensive package and the strategy that Coach Gailey wants to employ there for game day. I mean, I think that he's got some guys, some young guys that have stepped up and become really kind of clutch guys and reliable guys. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think they were able to part with Lee Evans and make that trade with Baltimore because of the production of those young guys and Stevie Johnson coming to his own. So that was a good thing. And I think he has great leadership ability. He has a very good arm, not a great arm, but can throw the long ball, is not afraid to fit it in, and throws that deep dig pretty well too. I mean, got himself in trouble, I don't know if it was last week or against Kansas City, where he threw a pick when he underthrew a ball, but then threw that ball in there really nicely, threaded that one on fourth down, you know, to keep that drive alive and preserve the opportunity for victory last week. So you can't say enough about, what he's doing so far. And last I checked, who's the number one rated quarterback in the NFL?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Very
right.
true.
Right.
That's
Patrick.
Right. Very true.
At number three, right?
Very true.
All right.
So there, right? I like it. It works for me. You mentioned Steve Johnson and his emergence, but how is Roscoe Parrish's absence going to hurt other than the obvious? And will that perhaps signal opportunity for a guy like C.J. Spiller maybe to get in and slot receiver or something and get more touches of the football?
Yeah, I mean, C.J. would be better in a slot situation probably. Even in Naaman Roosevelt, who they reactivated and did some things. He did some things late last year. They were pretty positive. He's a local kid. I think the fans like him, and it's nice to see him be successful. But I think they may use some more Roscoe and Fred together in the backfield. And then, I mean, they'll take a page out of the Patriots playbook when Kevin Falk, they used to motion him out and isolate him on linebackers. And that becomes a mismatch. I mean, there aren't too many linebackers in this league that are going to cover CJ coming out of the backfield. And they can run that bubble screen, or they can motion him out of the backfield as well, so that kind of exposes what the defensive package is going to be, and then they can go to work in that situation. You know, the Raiders were pretty worried about it too, because that touchdown pass to David Nelson that won the game last week, C.J. Spiller was lined up as a left halfback behind Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he ran a flare pattern to his left, and David Nelson just ran a quick slant. Three guys were standing there covering C.J. Spiller, and there was nobody covering David Nelson. So I think they were cognizant of that as well. And that could help. I think they'll have guys. Brad Smith will become a lot bigger part of the offensive package, I think. I think, you know, maybe the Wildcat will be an offensive strategy that they'll try to employ against the Patriots as well, you know, to the tune of about 8 or 10 plays a game, which they haven't used it, you know, to that degree yet this year. But you're right about that. It hurts. I think it really hurts because the slot position is a position that, and when you move off the ball a little bit and you have some quickness, it's difficult for a nickel corner to be able to cover those guys and jam them at the line, and they could escape and run some get open routes and have good productivity on third down. And unfortunately, you know, the Bills have lost that opportunity with the injury to Roscoe, and now he's, you know, he's on injured reserve, so he's on the shelf for the year. So let's see what they do to replace it. But I have an inkling that you're kind of right on, that CJ will fill that role somewhat.
Mark, we were talking earlier about how the Patriots and Bills sort of are mirror images of each other, identical teams, where their offense is their strength, and on defense they've made some moves on the front seven to try to improve, but they're ailing a little bit in the secondary. So where do you see the Bills on defense at this point making any strides against Tom Brady in this offense?
You know, I mean, the strides against Brady comes with a little bit of pressure. I mean, he certainly understands where pressure is coming from. They try to put themselves, isolate their offensive personnel in the best possible mismatches. So I think you're going to have to do some things to change it up a little bit. You're going to have to bring some pressure sometimes. You may have to bring some weak side blitzes and, you know, see if you can move your guys inside a little bit and create a free rush and a quick delivery, you know, with some pressure from the edge. Hopefully when they're singled up a couple times, Sean Merriman will have a good pass rush, because Kyle Williams and Darius inside will eat up three guys. And so there'll be an opportunity there. They'll have to bring pressure off the nickel sometimes and drop back into a zone and drop one of those defensive ends out. And other times they're going to have to man up and bring some serious pressure and hope that their guys can hold up in, you know, in zero coverage, or maybe just with a free safety and deep middle to protect against the one big strike. But, you know, the Patriots are going to get their points, and, you know, hopefully you can slow them down, and hopefully you can manage the clock with a good rushing performance and some screen game and really taking time off the clock to keep them off the field some as well. And you have to rip the ball every opportunity you have and hopefully create a couple turnovers, because if you can win the turnover battle, then you'll have an opportunity. But, you know, all they want is an opportunity to win the ball game. At the end of the game, when it comes down to the last 8 minutes of the game, are they in a position to win the game? And if they are, you know, I think they'll be happy. Whatever happens at the end happens, but hopefully they can put themselves in that position.
Mark, we appreciate the time today. Thanks a lot for, you know, hanging with us here, and best of luck. You know, I think it's great that, you know, the competitive nature is what it is with this series, even though it doesn't seem like it, with 15 straight wins. My final question would be, is that streak discussed at all in that locker room?
I can't give you a definitive on that. My guess is yes, that they know about it. But, you know, they demonstrated a level of maturity after the Kansas City victory that I haven't seen in recent years, and just the way they handled it. And it was one game out of 16, and, you know, they weren't overly excited about it. They played well again. Kansas City played bad. So, you know, they won the game, and that's what's going to happen on a given day. And if you play bad on a given day, you're going to lose. So I really like the level of maturity they demonstrated again. I'm sure it's plastered on the bulletin board when you walk in the locker room, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter. You know, that's not going to give them the motivation that they need to secure a victory on Sunday. What's going to give them the motivation is going out there and playing every down and playing it the best they possibly can, the most efficient way. And if they, you know, if they can create some turnovers and hold on to the ball themselves, and if they don't give up any big plays, then I think in the end they'll have a chance to win.
Mark, thank you again for the time, and we'll see you when you come this way to Foxborough.
Great, guys. Have a great afternoon.
All right.
Take care, Mark.
Mark Kelso again, who is the former safety for the Buffalo Bills and current radio analyst on their network and broadcast, joining us here in the Playbook. All right, before I let you go, like you predicted in the last hour with PFW, give us a score and give us your reason behind it.
Well, you know I've been concerned all week about this game.
You have. You've been that way since Tuesday. You told me that very early.
I've actually been that way since Sunday
on Wednesday.
Night.
Yeah,
since
I know.
Sunday
but
night. Yeah. But yeah, in earnest, since Tuesday, actually. I like the Patriots to win the game because I will give Tom Brady the benefit of the doubt and the edge over Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't think either defense is going to be able to slow down enough the other team's offense, so I'm going to give the edge to the quarterback. That's Brady. 19 times he's been named AFC Offensive Player in the week. Only one player has had that more than him. That's Peyton Manning with 20. I say Brady ties him this week, has another monstrous game, 390 yards, four touchdowns. It's going to be ridiculous.
I like the numbers you're going with here. This is good. You're stepping out.
But hang on a second.
You're coming out of your cocoon.
Hang on a second. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not going to be too shabby either.
Okay. If Brady goes for 390, Fitzpatrick goes for what?
Fitzpatrick's going to be in the 300s as well, okay. And he might throw three or four passes himself. It might come down to the running games. Who can run the ball a little bit better?
I'm not sure I like our chances there.
So that's why I've been nervous about this game, John. I like, you know, Fred Jackson, great running back, can catch the ball. C.J. Spiller, we don't know what they're going to do with him, whether or not he's going to be out wide or not. Patriots will win the game, but it's not going to be by the 8.5-point margin that the bettors think it will be. It's going to be a lot closer than that. I'm going to say 42-39.
Wow.
Patriots.
Wow. 42. You're giving the Bills then their average, 39 points.
Yep.
And the Patriots win it by a field goal?
Yep.
Now, does it go right down to the end, or does Buffalo score late to make it close?
I think Buffalo will score late to make it close.
Okay.
I think it'll be close going into the fourth. New England will pull ahead a little bit. And, you know, Buffalo might score, try an onside kick. New England will have to recover it to secure the victory. That kind of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Eric Scalavino stepping out. We'll talk next week and find out how close you are, my friend.
All right.
Have a good trip to Buffalo,
by the way. Yep, we're leaving Saturday. Thank you.
We're leaving Saturday?
Yep.
All right. Enjoy the wings. Anchor Bar.
I haven't been, but this might be the trip.
You've never been to the Anchor Bar?
No, because, well, the first place that everybody told me about was Billy Ogden's.
Yes, yeah.
And the first year I started traveling with the team, Billy Ogden's had closed.
Right.
So we never got to go. Then people were talking about the Anchor Bar. So at the time, we were investigating a different place to go, and somebody didn't want to go to the Anchor Bar. They said, oh, we've done that before, yada, yada. So we found this place called the Pearl Street Grill and Brewery.
Okay.
Which is a phenomenal sports bar.
Okay.
Phenomenal sports bar.
So you found a good spot there.
Yeah, and some good scenery around there.
Really?
Yes.
I'm into scenery.
It's a college town.
I can do scenery.
So, yes, there's some great scenery there. Oh, yes. Hey, girl. You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, girl.
So we've tended to have gone there. There's also a pretty good restaurant right across from our hotel that we have sometimes gone to. But maybe this is the year I go to the Anchor Bar because
Gotta go to the Anchor Bar and say you've been, number one. Just be careful if you do the nuclear wings.
I heard Bilo. That's where he wants to go.
So Anchor Bar?
Yeah, maybe we'll do that this time.
All right, I need you to then, first of all, can you bring me back a bottle of sauce? I need a bottle of sauce.
What strength?
Nuclear.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know what he does?
I'm into it.
Scal, he puts it in his hair, and that's why we're bald. That rug up there.
Well, he's from Texas. I thought he might put it in his cereal. I don't know.
No, man, I swig straight from the bottle.
All right. Yeah! Do they come in different sizes, or like
regular sized
Anchor Bar?
Nuclear.
All right.
Nuclear.
Okay.
Dig. This is the temperature of sauce that you don't want any kind of liquid near you. You only want bread.
Right, because the people make the mistake of drinking water
and it makes it worse.
You have to eat bread to get rid of that.
That's
same thing with the pepperoncini.
Correct.
Those hot peppers.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
So, all right. If we go there, I'll get you one.
You the man.
All right.
All right. Way to go. All right. We'll take the timeout. Then Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, in the playbook next.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Pats.
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
And webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Steve in Killeen, Texas says, I was looking at the numbers on Jeff Tarpinian. Believe we may have the beginning of the pass rush that I and the rest of the Patriots faithful have been looking for. He's 6'3", tipping the scales at 235, has slightly better than 4.6 speed in the 40. What's your take on how he may fit into the defense? Pats fan in exile, Steve says. They just like his ability to fly to the football. They also like his ability to hit. Go to YouTube, and I think there's still, you probably find the clip of Jeff Tarpinian. Just type in Jeff Tarpinian and big hit. And I think you'll see what I'm talking about. I think it was last year, his senior year, at Iowa, when he clocked somebody, and I don't even remember who it was against, but they just like this guy's ability to fly to the football, and maybe you'll begin to get a sense for why they kind of like him and why he stuck around through all of the opportunities that he could have had to slip through the cracks. Each and every time at this week, we start to take a look at the entire week around the NFL, not just the Patriots matchup in particular, but also looking at what's going on that could potentially affect the Patriots with the one and only Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Russell, how are you this week?
I'm great, but let's talk about affecting someone else here.
Okay.
Nuclear hot sauce?
Yes, nuclear.
Now, I always get into this discussion when I go out for friends with wings, which, you know, I've had my share of wings. when you have the nuclear hot sauce,
yeah,
do you actually really taste the chicken, John?
No, that's fine. But what
because
I was,
you know, a lot of times if you put like hot sauce in your mouth, it, you know, it kind of deadens everything.
I like hot.
It's too hot.
I like hot sauce. I like the flavor. I like the spice. I enjoy the sweat, believe it or not. But I would tell you, what, you don't really eat a chicken wing to taste the chicken, do you?
Well, I like the combination of the things. So.
Well, there's a little bit of chicken going there, but if you really want to eat the chicken and you want to taste the chicken, go and get a big piece of chicken. All I'm saying is that I like a little bit of the chicken and the texture, but what I really eat chicken wings for is the buffalo sauce.
Gotcha.
And I think most people who eat chicken wings do that for the flavor, do they not?
Yeah, the flavor, that's what I mean. I like the flavor of stuff that's hot. I can't believe I'm doing this to you. I like the flavor of something that's spicy opposed to, you know, why don't I just take a curling iron, put it on my tongue, and just deaden everything in there, and everything for the next 3 days is going to have no taste to it whatsoever. And you know what? I was at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. It was the time the Patriots were playing the Packers down there.
Yeah.
And you've been in a lot of places down there where they sample hot sauces.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And boy, did I sample a beauty. And there weren't enough crackers or glasses of water. And I like spicy food too, don't get me wrong. But, Yeah, I just killed 3 minutes of your show here. So,
no, listen, we digress a lot, especially when it comes to food. So you have no worries about that. And we all know that Buffalo is infamous for and famous for wings. So Eric was just mentioning a short while ago that he and Brian Lowe from Patriots Today, they're going to hit the Anchor Bar up. Neither one has ever been. And I said, oh, dude, you have to go because it is the place. I know that there are a couple other places now that, you know, townies like to go to around there. But if you're from outside, the Anchor Bar is still, you know,
It's the Anchor Bar.
It's where the Buffalo Chicken Wing was really first made famous. And I said, bring me back a bottle of nuclear. And he looked at me like I had three heads. He's like, why would you do that to yourself? So I actually enjoy it. I mean, maybe I'm a little masochistic where that's concerned, but to me...
I thought you were a little Massachusetts.
I'm a little masochistic in Massachusetts.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's a double dose. So, at any rate, we're digressing still.
Well, speaking of hot and Buffalo, I'll get us back on track here.
Yes, sir.
And this weekend, obviously, I know we're going to talk about Bills Patriots later, but who'd have thunk it? 2-0 versus 2-0.
Right.
And the highest scoring the team in the league is not the New England Patriots, actually the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. Now, we can go ahead and talk about it now because we kind of, you know, get jumped into it. We don't really have to save it for last. I just kind of do. But, how big of a surprise is this? Should we be surprised at the way Buffalo has clearly improved on offense?
I'll tell you how surprising it is. The last two games of the season last year, the Buffalo Bills got outscored 72-10. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't play in the last game against the Jets, okay? But they got outscored 72-10 and committed 13 turnovers in two games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a year and a half for the New England Patriots, okay? As we know, the Patriots set an NFL record last year with 10 turnovers in 16 games. And what do they have now, 11-18, including the first two games of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... there was no sign. Listen, the Bills were 4-4 after 0-8 last year, so that was well and good. But after the way they completely closed, who would have thought they would have come out of the gate scoring 41 at Kansas City, coming back from 18 down to score 38 and beat the Raiders? Yeah, I think they're a big surprise. And I know Ryan Fitzpatrick's getting a lot of the credit, but it's an overall offensive team effort. The offensive line has been solid. Fred Jackson's been terrific. They run the ball. They've thrown the ball. I'm a little flabbergasted. I certainly did not expect this out of the Buffalo Bills.
How about the fact, and I know you knew this, but it just, you know, it kind of comes to mind here, that this is the only matchup between two 2-0 teams this week?
Yeah, and who would have thought that?
Nobody. Nobody.
So there's a lot of surprises going on, and it's obviously been a surprising start to the NFL season, and we always see surprises in this day and age and so on, but... again, there was no hint at the end of last year. Again, 4-4, had a nice little run after the 0-8 start. But to come out and be as balanced and explosive as they've been, I think that's the thing that's been stunning about them. I mean, they've been very, very efficient offensively, and I don't think we thought... Listen, their biggest playmaker as far as the passing game was Lee Evans.
Right.
And they let him go. You know, last year, in the last October, they let Marshawn Lynch go, traded him. If you go back over, like, the last calendar year or so, John, they cut loose a lot of guys who they drafted in the first round. Either cut them, traded them, or they left to be a free agency. You know, the Aaron Mabins, the Dante Whitners, the John McCargos. You know, I don't know what that says, but the fact that they're 2-0, I think, probably has everybody a little surprised, because isn't this supposed to be a division for the Jets and the Patriots, and then the Miami and Buffalo are supposed to battle out for third? Isn't that what conventional wisdom has told us the last couple of years?
Several years. Yeah, last several years. Right. Totally. To me, it's going to boil down to a couple of very, very simple things, which most of these games do. It's going to come down to which offense, which offense can exploit the other's defense. Both defenses seem to be exploitable. Whether or not the Patriots can turn over the Bills, which they obviously have done against a lot of teams over the course of the last year plus now. And then, of course, the X factor in all this is the 15-game winning streak. Now, I just talked to Mark Kelso, who I know you know. He's on the Bills radio network now, and he says, quite frankly, he's not real sure that, you know, the 15 in a row means a heck of a lot in the locker room, although you can be assured that it's pasted somewhere and that there's a little subliminal, you know, reminder every once in a while that, hey, you know what, we haven't beaten these guys in 8 years. How much of a factor, you know, in a historical perspective here, and I can't think of a better person to ask than you, but how much of a factor in the overall history of this thing do long winning streaks have psychologically? Because we know that long winning streaks always come to an end. This is the third longest such streak of its kind, one team against another in NFL history. How much longer can this thing go?
It is significant, and I think it's also made even more significant by the fact that 3 years ago, the streak continued without Tom Brady.
Right.
Okay, so Matt Castle came in. And it's more significant in the sense that, you know, teams and coaches will tell this as well. It's always great to shoot for something, okay? There's another team who has a shot at breaking a long losing streak in something this weekend as well, and we'll allude to that down the road. But when you put up that 15 in a row, and it's been since the opening weekend of 2003, you know, when Drew Bledsoe, they lambasted the Patriots, 31-0 up in Buffalo, and the Bills have been paying for it ever since. And it is significant for the Bills because, like the Raiders last year, who had lost 13 in a row to the San Diego Chargers, what you find a lot of times with these streaks, John, is once you finally end it, sometimes have a tendency to go on a streak of your own. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's what happens when you finally get that little monkey off your back type of thing. I mean, we hear that phrase thrown out so much,
mm-hmm.
but it is significant because it is, you know, there's a degree of sigh of relief that we were finally able to beat these guys. And listen, it would be one thing if the Buffalo Bills had lost 15 games in a row to the Oakland Raiders. They lost 15 games in a row to the New England Patriots, and it's a team they have to play twice a year. So when you have these long streaks in your own division, they don't do you any good. Now, like I said, the Raiders last year, outstanding. They finally beat the Chargers and actually swept them. Now, they didn't make the playoffs, but they had their first non-losing season since 2002. The other streak I was going to refer to is Detroit this week. Detroit, which has been a miserable road team, set two different streaks of road futility. They haven't beaten the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, John, since 1997. That's 13 in a row.
Wow.
They got a head of steam right now. Don't think that's not plastered up somewhere as another milestone. Here's another accomplishment for us to shoot after this week. And I think those things are very, very important in the psychology of a football team.
I guess really then it boils down to looking at the team who's on the short side of that streak. And are they good enough when they meet the team that has dominated them? Are they good enough to go off on a streak of their own? And if they're not, then maybe the streak continues.
That's exactly right. And I think in this instance, I think, at least in my mind, I think the streak does continue because I love what the Buffalo Bills have done so far. Okay, but the New England Patriots they've picked up where they left off last year. And I know they don't have Aaron Hernandez this week, and I know how big the tight ends have been. I mean, you go back to the beginning of last year, John, Tom Brady in the regular season has thrown 43 touchdown passes, and 23 of them have been to tight ends. Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, and of course, Algie Crumpler, a little bit last year.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many different ways the New England Patriots can beat you. And I think the Buffalo Bills can throw the ball with some success against New England. I'm not sure if they can run the ball with any success on the New England Patriots. And I think they need to run to be able to throw. And that's why I think the streak does continue for the New England Patriots.
Even Russell, with Buffalo being the top rushing team in the league after 2 weeks?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen. They went out and took care of business against Kansas City, and they had to be impressed with what they did last week against Oakland. In fact, with an adjustment in the stats, they actually tacked on 6 more yards yesterday afternoon. So I think that number is even better. What is it? I think 386 yards in the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, listen, New England's got a lot of beef up front, and it serves them well. And they are a tough team to run on. Okay, they haven't been as tough against the pass, but I think Ryan Fitzpatrick needs the run game. He's not going out there, John, as you well know, and just throwing the ball all over the place. Okay, they've been extremely balanced. And the difference of throwing when you want to and throwing when you have to, you can't sell it short. And I just think if the Patriots are able to clamp down on the run, I think it becomes a different passing game for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he played the Patriots twice last year, 2 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. So he had a pretty good year if you take those. I mean, he had a pretty good year since the beginning of last year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What's he got, 30 touchdowns and 16 interceptions since the beginning of last year? But 5 of those 16 interceptions came against the Patriots.
Right, right. Good point. All right, for those of you that are familiar somewhat with Russell's work on ProFootballGuru.com, you know that on Thursday, he comes up with his Thursday teasers. I love the way that it starts this week because it seems like every year we focus on teams that start 0-2. Why that's a magic number, I'm not real certain, but we always talk about starting 0-2 and then potentially getting to the playoffs and how hard is it for a team that's 0-2 to get to the playoffs or win the Super Bowl. So Russell kind of takes care of matters as part of his Thursday teasers this week by saying that it's been harder to start 0-2 and then get to the playoffs recently. Russell, I'll quote what you say. Dating back to realignment, 79 teams have opened their season with 2 losses from 2002 to 2010. Only 8 of those 79 rebounded to make the playoffs. That's 10%. None of the 17 teams to open from 0-2 from 2009 and 2010. So recently, it's been real hard at 0-2. So that means right now, Miami, forget about it. Minnesota, don't think so. Carolina, we didn't think you were going to be there either. But Kansas City, winning a division last year, they're 0-2 already. Seattle, even though they were 7-9 and won a division, they're 0-2. And lo and behold, the Indianapolis Colts, 0-2, not playoff bound. Which one of those is most likely to reverse that trend?
Ooh, boy. And let's not forget the Rams in there as well.
Rams 0-2, yes.
I think would be the team, because that's the team I picked to win the NFC East to West. And, you almost... Picking the NFC West champion almost becomes a backhanded compliment,
right?
Considering them and the Seahawks both finished 7-9 last year, and Seattle won the tiebreaker and went on. But the Rams have been, a little bitten by the injury bug early on. Listen, they got off their season to a rousing start. Steven Jackson touches the ball for the first time and he runs for a 47-yard touchdown, but they struggled inside the red zone. I mean, they moved the ball up and down the field of the Giants the other night. But they couldn't punch it in because they just didn't have, one of the more reliable running backs in the league who's currently hurt right now. All 7 of those teams are struggling and so on. I think it's going to be tough for any one of them to rebound. To be honest with you, again, most people will say the Rams because of the division they play in. But I don't know about that. Just because you play in a weak division doesn't mean if you win it, you're a good team. Now, I know Seattle went 7-9 and then won a playoff game last year. But I think more importantly for St. Louis, they got to get some of their guys back. They're missing Danny Amendola, who's one of their, better wide receivers. We mentioned Steven Jackson. If St. Louis gets healthy, I think it's a different story. I mean, you've seen what happened in Kansas City. You want to talk about injury. Eric Berry,
yeah.
Jamal Charles, Tony Moiaki. The Colts speak for themselves. Minnesota's a little strange because they've blown double-digit leads in their first 2 games. They were up 17-0 on Tampa, let that one get away from them. So, out of the field of 7, I'm stretching to find anybody who looks the part right now. Some people may say Carolina, but they're in a division that is absolutely loaded. So, take your pick, John. The forecast for any of them doesn't look very promising.
I would have to agree with you. I think the Rams probably are the most likely just because of the division they're in. I really don't have a problem with that when you're right about the injuries of late, but if you had to look at them right now and say which one of those teams is most likely to recover just because of where they reside, I'd have to say I'd agree with you and say the Rams.
I picked them before the season started, and, I like what Steve Spagnuolo's done on defense. They're very, very aggressive. And so on, but offensively, they've just been very limited. It's funny. Their offense in 2 games has scored 2 touchdowns, and their offense in 2 games has also scored 2 touchdowns to the other team.
Oh, jeez,
that's not the kind of balance.
No, not at all. Let's then look at the other divisional opponents this week. Miami at 0-2, one of those teams on the road playing at Cleveland, 1-1. And the Browns were impressive last week. And I got to tell you, Colt McCoy is starting to do it for me. I mean, you know I'm a Texas fan, and I followed his career at UT quite a bit. But I think he has the makings of a pro quarterback. I had my doubts a year ago, was hoping that he'd get the chance. I think he's kind of making the most of his chance. Do you think they feel the same way about him in Cleveland?
I think they do, because I think they look at him as a leader. I mean, they're a different team when he's on the field. You know, he had the two back-to-back games last year against the Patriots and the Saints where he didn't put up eye-popping numbers at all. I don't think he threw a touchdown pass in either game, but they won those games. And it wasn't, you know, it's not always about the numbers and so on. Numbers are great. I love numbers, but it's the way he carries himself. It's the way he leads that team. You know, we've been talking about Cam Newton, and Cam Newton obviously has put up mind-boggling numbers in the first two games.
Yep.
But the thing that you get most impressed about with Cam Newton is not the numbers, per se. It's the fact that after two games, the only thing he wants to talk about in the press conference is how they lost, not how good I did.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clearly see that they, in two games, the Panthers responded to them. And that's what quarterbacking is all about, okay? Tom Brady is the leader of the New England Patriots. Cam Newton right now looks like the leader of the Carolina Panthers, and to me, Colt McCoy looks like the leader on the field of the Cleveland Browns.
Do the Cleveland Browns beat Miami and make them 0-3?
I think they do. I mean, Miami, I think Miami's still trying to figure out what exactly they are. You know, last week they had a lot of success running the ball, but they couldn't stop Houston when they had to. They still haven't beaten the Houston Texans, which is almost mind-boggling considering that the Texans have only been in the league 10 years,
right.
And, you know, they're 0-6 against them. And the Dolphins, I will say this, the Dolphins have probably their best chance to win this game because it's in Cleveland, okay? Because if the Dolphins lose another home game, which, by the way, they're 1-11 in their last 12 home games, which is perplexing.
Yeah.
Last year they were 6-2 on the road. You know, maybe getting out of town helps them a little and so on, but I just think Cleveland's the better football team.
The other divisional game, of course, has the New York Jets on the road taking on the Oakland Raiders. Of course, the Raiders will be with the Patriots, you know, coming up very shortly as well. New York has to go all the way out there, and we say all the way out there. The Raiders could very easily be 2-0, and a lot of people think maybe they should be if it weren't for, you know, some last-second heroics from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who the Patriots get this week.
Yeah, this to me is a very important game for the Raiders, and I say this because of the fact that they blew the 18-point lead last week, and you had to like the fact that they did come back and take the lead.
Yep.
But then they lost it in the closing seconds. And when you have a loss like that, it's very important, as you know, John, to not let these things snowball, okay? So here comes a Jet team that is obviously one of the better teams in the AFC. The Raiders are still kind of trying to find themselves as a contender. I wish people would start giving Jason Campbell a little credit for the way he's played. I think he's played very, very effective football, and I think the fact that Hugh Jackson was his offensive coordinator last year and his head coach slash, you know, offensive mind this year is very important, because just like Alex Smith in San Francisco, Jason Campbell went through his share of head coaches and coordinators in Washington. So, you know, a little continuity certainly helps. The Jets, the big thing about this game that I think is interesting is no Mick Mangold for the Jets, it looks like he's going to be out for a couple of games. So they're going to start a young man named Colin Baxter, no relation, obviously, and he'll be the center. And when you're going against that defensive line, you know, with the Richard Seymours and so on, you better be at the top of your game. I think the Jets win. I wouldn't say I'm overly confident the Jets win. I don't think you're going to see 38-35 again. I think it's really, to me, this is a Raiders mindset game, John.
Yeah.
To see if, I think they need to play well. If they win the game, I think it'd be great for their confidence. But more than anything else, they can't let last week's heartbreaking loss affect them for another week.
You know, just kind of, you know, looking at it, you know, from a purely, competitive point of view, I'm not sure that I want the Raiders to win. Although, if the Raiders win, you could always make a point of saying, well, you know, maybe then they would come in off a high beating the Jets, and then Patriots can come in and flatten them. And by the way, the schedule makers didn't do the Raiders any favors here with the Jets and Patriots back to back, did they?
Well, and it seems that they're also, what is it, they played at Denver, and then they had to, they fly back to the East Coast on a short week to play at Buffalo, because they played Denver on a Monday night, and now they go back to the West Coast. So, I mean, fortunately, they're not driving. They are flying to these games, so that certainly helps. But, listen, it's one of those years. I believe the AFC East gets the AFC West this year in rotation, so all those teams have their work cut out for them when you're playing. Listen, Buffalo, Miami knows what it's like to have to play New England and the Jets twice a year. So these other teams in the other divisions in the AFC and then the NFC only does it once every 4 years. They're lucky enough they only get them once a year, or once every 4 years or once every 3 years. So, they do me a favor. Listen, talking about not doing anybody any favors, how about the Houston Texans? They go to New Orleans this week.
Right.
And then they play Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, they're getting their run of recent Super Bowl champions. Playing the Saints and Steelers is probably no walk in the park in back-to-back weeks either.
That's right. Getting it out of the way early. Hey, Russell, noticed that there are really what I would call a nice handful of traditional NFL games this week. For instance, Lions playing the Vikings, Giants playing the Eagles, Packers playing the Bears, Chiefs playing the Chargers, and you have the Redskins and the Cowboys on Monday night. Which one intrigues you the most?
Intriguing. The game that intrigues me the most is Detroit, Minnesota, for the reasons I alluded to a few minutes ago about Detroit. By the way, Detroit hasn't opened up 3-0, John, since Billy Sims' rookie year.
Wow.
That's 1980.
I knew you would know that, by the way, but that's impressive.
That's a long time. And again, 13 losses in a row at Minnesota, which is the streak they look at. As far as, listen, the rematch of the NFC Championship game, I think, is huge. You notice this week, last week we had no divisional games, and I believe next week we have no divisional games.
I don't like that, by the way. I like the divisional matchups.
Oh, absolutely. Well, but what do you get this week? You get the whole NFC East squaring off against each other.
Yep.
And you get the whole NFC North squaring off.
Yep.
Against each other. So, Green Bay, Chicago, the rematch. Jay Cutler, who I think has been sacked 11 times in the first two games, against the Packer defense that you've been a little generous against the pass. But I will say this, even though Jay Cutler has lost four of the five games as Bears quarterback, including the championship game last year, to the Packers since Dom Capers took over the defense in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers hasn't put up mind-boggling numbers against the Bears. These games are, I want to say, the last six meetings between these teams, 7 points or less. Side that's 21-14. 2017, 21-15. These are old fashioned. In this day and age where we're watching passing numbers all day, these recent years of the Bears Packers have been more like the 60s Bears Packers games or the 70s Bears Packers games, mid 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Slugfest type of games. And, you have to, give a lot of respect to the Bears defense. I know they kind of got, taken care of in New Orleans last week, but I mean, they did a great job against Atlanta the week before. Defending champs are tough, and I know they've had their problems in Chicago as of late, although they won the championship game there last year. But I think this is a Jay Cutler game. We went through this 2 weeks ago with seeing how the crowd would react to Jay Cutler. But now this is deja vu all over again. It is the Packers. It is a rematch of the NFC championship game. And I think, again, it depends on how Jay Cutler plays, and more importantly, if they can protect him.
As far as the one game that I didn't get a chance to mention out of that, it wouldn't be, I guess it could be considered a rivalry only because the teams have had a lot of success in the last few years, but I don't really think of it in a true rivalry sense, and that would be Steelers playing the Colts on Sunday night. Are the Colts, I mean, even though they're at home, is it really too far-fetched to think that they could be 0-3?
I don't think it's far-fetched because they're not playing well offensively. They're turning over the football. And they're not playing well defensively. They're having trouble stopping the run. And they had trouble stopping the run even when Peyton Manning was there. Now, Kerry Collins is a veteran quarterback, so not a lot of things that the Steelers' defense will do will fool him. Okay? He played them when he was in Tennessee on occasion. He played them last year, as a matter of fact. He came in a game where Vinshawn got, I think he got sat down after the Steelers really, had their way with him, and Carey came in, and even though Pittsburgh wound up winning the game, Carey, you know, is a wily veteran, so no matter what Dick LeBeau throws at him, it's not going to fool him. But you got to concern yourself with Indianapolis' defense and that inability to stop the run. And the Steelers ran respectable last week against Seattle. They had a nice bounce-back game. But if they want to really work on their running game, this is the week to do it. And, you know, until the Colts get that defense rectified, no matter what the offense does, regardless of the quarterback, they're going to continue to have problems. I mean, it's just really amazing to see how one team is so dependent on one player.
One of the other things that I liked about your teasers this week is the fact that Blaine Gabbert's getting the start at quarterback this week for Jacksonville. He's already in the third week. He'll be the third rookie quarterback to start a game this year, with Cam Newton and Andy Dalton being the other two. And I guess I didn't realize it until you said it. 8 rookie quarterbacks started for teams a year ago, which I think is an extraordinary number. Is there another one somewhere that could actually find a start before this year is out somewhere?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck, you want to talk about one of the surprises of last week. How about what the Tennessee Titans did to the Baltimore Ravens last week?
Yeah, that too.
358 yards through the air for Matt Hasselbeck. And if you saw them against Jacksonville the week before, where did that come from? More importantly, if you saw Baltimore against Pittsburgh the week before, where did that come from?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously Jake Locker is there. In Minnesota, you got Christian Ponder. And depending on what direction the Vikings go in, if they continue to lose, are they going to be a team that looks toward the future?
I think that's a good one.
You never know.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's actually a good one that you brought it up. I think Christian Ponder, you know, moving in for Donovan McNabb at some point, I think, and especially if Minnesota loses again soon.
Right. It just depends on what you're doing. Listen, in my mind, once the Jacksonville Jaguars let David Garrard go the week before the season, this was inevitable. It just was. I mean, you don't move up in the draft to take a quarterback 10, okay, and then cut your starting quarterback less than a week before the season and don't think that the rookie is eventually going to play this year, okay?
Yeah.
And Luke McCown had a miserable game last week against the Jets. He threw 4 interceptions. Who knew we were going to see Gabbert versus Newton? But that's what we're going to see this week. And if Gabbert plays, like Andy Dalton has played so far this year, Andy Dalton's been very efficient. Obviously, Cam Newton got a little schooling last week from Charles Woodson and company, but still threw for all those yards. And what he's done with Steve Smith, by the way, I don't know how much of the Carolina Panthers you've actually seen, John. This isn't Cam Newton throwing the ball to Steve Smith 15 yards wide open downfield. He has really learned how to drive. He's got a nice touch on that deep ball, okay? I know you had the one pass play against Arizona where it was a long play down the sidelines, but some of the other throws he's made to Speed Smith. And Steve Smith, by the way, Steve Smith has already had as many 20-yard passing plays this season, 7, as he did all of last season.
Wow.
Which was 7.
Wow.
In 14 games. So they actually obviously have a little rapport going here. And you know, the reason we saw 8 rookie quarterbacks last year is because at the end of the year we did see guys wind up coming in games like Joe Webb for the Minnesota Vikings and so on. And it's not always the plan. Is Christian Ponder a possibility? Is Ryan Mallett a possibility at the very end of the year? Should New England want to sit some of their players? And I'm not saying they're going to. You never know. You wind up starting rookie quarterbacks for a lot of different reasons. The Jacksonville Jaguars are starting in this week because they're ready to move on with the future.
Right. Russell, great stuff as always. Enjoy the games this week. I know you will. I'm actually looking forward to getting a 1:00 Patriot game in this week, which is kind of a novelty.
Yeah, and that's going to be just a great atmosphere, which it was last week with the comeback in Buffalo, but that's going to be a great atmosphere up this week and so on. And again, you know, as much as anything else, until you actually snap that streak, you got to show me and so on. And I think Buffalo will have some success this week. But to me, you know, New England is still playing at a very, very high level, and they continue to do a great job of taking care of the football. They just make it so difficult for you to capitalize on mistakes because they don't make any.
Right. Keep it coming, my man. We'll be reading.
You got it, John.
We'll talk to you next week. Yes, sir. You too. That's Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. You can catch his stuff on ProFootballGuru.com. I love his Thursday teasers. It's kind of a little bit in written form what he has actually given us here on the Patriots Playbook for years now. Russell's been a regular guest for, let's see, this is our 11th year to do this show, so I think he's probably been a regular guest for at least 10 of those years. And a lot of that time, obviously previous to this year, he spent working at ESPN. He's kind of branched out on his own now. So, guy understands the game, as well as anybody who's ever understood it and finds the trends, finds the numbers, finds the between the lines kind of stuff that make you go, aha! Oh, really? I didn't know that. Every week goes by. Always something comes up that you just didn't know about. Well, Russell comes up with it. So it's good stuff. Glad we have him here in the playbook. Glad we can have him help you understand the game and perhaps some of these teams in the NFL a little bit better. Let's take the time out. We got some emails that we need to get to. Your predictions. Patriots, Bills. Does the streak end this Sunday in Buffalo? Webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Hit me up on Facebook. Coming up.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place, shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Pete Shepherd Show coming up at the top of the hour, and I'm sure he'll get more into not only the Pats and the Bills predictions, but he's got the fantasy lowdown with Brian Lowe coming up. So if you're into the fantasy thing, that's coming up here in 15 minutes. Prediction time. Steve, via Facebook, my prediction this week is Patriots 35-17. I think the Bills are riding high, going into this game with a little too much confidence because things have been clicking rather well for them. The moment something goes wrong, they'll overcorrect and end up falling much shorter. You can bring up the second half recovery against the Raiders last week, but I don't think they honestly believed that to work. They'll believe it will against the Pats after seeing it work, but when it doesn't, they'll collapse. For this reason, I don't think the game will be as close. I believe the Patriots will score the first touchdown, and Ocho Cinco will score it. Okay, I like that, actually. I like that pick. Daryl says, John, get ready for Ryan Fitzpatrick to have fits against the Pats come Sunday. Final line, Pats win 35-13 with, he says, one defensive score, four sacks, four total turnovers, a strip sack, a forced fumble, two picks. Wow. Brady completes 28 of 33 for 431 with four touchdowns, two to G-Force, Welker, and Woodhead. Law Firm and Woodhead combined for 100-plus rushing yards. Whew. Daryl, if you're anywhere close, I'm going to Vegas with you, bruh. That's all I'm saying, okay? If you're anywhere close to any of those numbers, you and me, buddy, we're heading. We're out. We're going to have some fun. Let's get down to emails. Love this one from Joshua, who sent this in right before Eric left us in the opening hour of the program. And he says, Eric Negativino. Do they call him that on PFW? Negativino? Yeah, I thought so. I love that. I can understand why Eric is saying he's concerned. What I take issue with is with his use of the word legitimately. Nothing about what he has said so far lends itself to legitimate concern. The Bills have a terrible secondary, got barely any pressure on the Raiders last week. Brady will have all day. Well, I can't say I disagree with that, but I like that. Eric Negativino. I just prefer calling him Squidward. Just makes it much easier. Plus, he's got the schnoz thing. And I love Eric. You know, it's Eric's, but he looks like Squidward.
Screw you, bitch.
We really need some Squidward sound, by the way, I think. I think you're going to have to go looking for it, Kev.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch me some SpongeBob.
Yeah, going to have to watch some SpongeBob. And
which isn't a bad thing because
I enjoy
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob's funny. It's good stuff.
Any guy that lives in a pineapple under the sea, he's
got my
–
yeah. He's got my attention. Absolutely. Going to have to find some Squidward sound. Cavern and Gainesville, both of our backs, Woodhead and Law Firm, have had decent starts to the season. I love what we've done on offense so far, but my question is, why haven't we seen more screens or draws called? I felt that the screen game, whether it be Woodhead, Welker, Edelman, or even Hernandez, makes our offense so unique. I believe the only time we've called a screen was the crazy play in Miami that was picked off. What are your thoughts on getting the screen game going this weekend? You know, honestly, I think there's a reason for that because the screen game is generally, a part of the offense when you're trying to ball control and or use the short passing game. Not when you're trying to throw the ball downfield like the game plan clearly called for in the first 2 weeks. We might see that more, but frankly, I'm not sure we will. Because I think, based on, what some have already written here, that there will be an opportunity for this Patriots team to get up and down the field again and go over the top and burn Buffalo deep. Says, I think Eric said Chung missed practice. What odds do you give him a playing? Yes, he did miss practice. He had surgery on his thumb. It's hard to put a number on it. He did come back to practice, came back out with a cast on his thumb. My guess is if he can go, he will go. So even though he wasn't there today, you can play with a cast. I'll put the odds at, I would say, 70% that he'll go.
I'm saying zero.
You don't think he'll go at all?
Nope.
Why?
I was in the locker room and I just talked to a wide majority of people in there.
And they don't think he's going?
Including, I'll give it a tease, I talked to Josh Barrett about, not about his injury, of course, but about what it would mean for, the safeties if Patrick didn't suit up on Sunday. So some interesting sound for the Pete Shepard show coming up.
Really? How about that? Talk about the ultimate tease. Okay. I like it. All right. Well, then you know what? There you go. We'll find out if that happens. Dustin says, love the show. My only concern about the game is what mindset the players will have going into it. It's really easy to take this team lightly because they have beaten them 15 straight times. I have faith in the coaching staff to not allow them to think that way, but there's always a chance that the players don't catch on. Also, with our secondary as injured and inconsistent as it has been, do you think that will be a big problem against Fitzgerald? Do you think Fitzgerald's for real, or are his stats thus far just a result of playing less than average teams?
Does he mean Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, I think that's what he means. Fitzpatrick.
Larry Fitzgerald isn't playing quarterback for the Bills.
Fitzpatrick. This is also, Patriots.com is my only source of Patriots talk down here in Texas. should be your only source no matter where you are, Dustin. But thanks for the email. Yes, he said, correction. I said Fitzgerald instead of Fitzpatrick in the last email. We caught you, brother. We caught you on that one. You know, interesting. You know, I think Fitzpatrick probably, you know, and Eric did say this. Eric Negativino did say this a little earlier. He thinks Fitzpatrick will have a big day. Maybe not as big as Brady, but he'll have a big day. The question is, you know, do the Patriots allow him to have the yardage but don't allow him to get in the end zone more than, say, like three times? I mean, I don't see the Patriots. I mean, we can be wrong here. It happened last year against Cleveland. That no one always comes back because that was the one that just stands out in recent memory of being, you know, just a complete stink job. But do you really see the Patriots scoring less than 30 in this game against Buffalo when you take a look at what they have defensively, and they've got some of the same concerns in the secondary even now that the Patriots have, and the answer to that is no. So the question is, can the Patriots hold Buffalo to less than 30? You know, right now I'm kind of leaning toward 38-27. Patriots. Eric said 42-29. Excuse me, he said 42-39 Patriots. He has the Bills covering. I'm going to say 38-27. I think 27 might actually be a little bit on the low side.
The exact pick Paul Perillo had.
That's he had 38-27?
Yep.
I'll go with double P on that one.
I resign.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think a lot of that has to do with the caliber of opposition overall that Buffalo faced in the first 2 weeks, and because of that, I don't know. I'm going to give the Patriots defense a little bit of credit. It might be more credit than we need to give him, but I'm going to give him a little bit of credit. Brian, John, I'm glad to be listening to your show again since we have a new season. The Patriots are playing some good ball right now. I predict another Patriots victory this coming Sunday for two reasons. First, this two tight end system they're using this season has been unbeatable right now with Gronk and Hernandez. Of course, Hernandez isn't going this week, Brian. You know that. That matchup is tough for any team to contend with because if you put on a fast defender on them, they will use their size as the advantage. And if you put someone big on them, they have tremendous speed to get past them. All reasoning, though. That's very good. Second reason is their progress on defense. They show great character against the San Diego team that has as much capability as any to put points on the board. They cause so many problems for Rivers and company. I expect the same against the Bills and Fitzpatrick. Give the Patriots the W 28-14. Okay. Interesting. Let me get a couple of others. Adam. Rook! Glad to have you back. He really did write that, by the way. I wanted to write you back now that I have relocated to Fort Worth. Get out. Said, I wrote you last year asking about the area since I know you're a native Texan. Dude, I'm a native Fort Worthian, okay? So that's unbelievable. He says, I ended up in Saginaw. Not a whole lot here. You're very right about that. But I like the peace and quiet. I figured you are the right guy to ask the following question. Where can I catch the radio broadcast of the Pats games online? I looked last weekend mostly because I can't stand Jim Nance and found 98.5 but was just Fox Sports Radio. It's because they can't stream it. Not the Pats games with Geno. So help. I want to listen to the actual broadcast while I watch the game. Love my Sunday ticket. Love the show. Jets suck. Sanchez blows. Go Pats. Okay. Just got to love Pats fans, right? All right, help me out with this. Where can you get Gil and Gina? Where you can get the radio broadcast online? You have to go subscription, right? I know you can get it through SiriusXM, but I'm pretty sure you got to pay for it. So that may be, and I know you can get it on SiriusXM.com. Pete, do you have any idea?
I'm trying to think. We had a caller from France call the other day, and he listens online.
Does he listen to the game broadcast?
He listens on... Maybe gets it on does NFL Network like have their national broadcasters or something? Armed Forces Radio. Do they have that? I mean, I'm not sure.
I'm guessing that
I think you have to pay for it.
Pay for it. Okay, yeah. So Adam, the only thing I can tell you here is that the only place I know definitively you can get it online, the game broadcast, is through SiriusXM, and yes, it is a package that you must pay for. That's the only place that I'm aware of. You know, I know there are certain pirate, you know, sites out there that sometimes pirate this stuff out, and sometimes it bounces around from time to time, and I'm sure if you do a Google search, you can probably find one or two of those.
Unless the game's on ESPN, do they show on ESPN3, like online, like they do college games?
I don't think you do, but even so, you'd get the TV announcers as opposed to the radio.
You'd get the TV announcers.
Right?
Yeah.
So
who wants that?
You want the radio guys, because right. The radio guys are the ones that know your team better than anybody else. else. That's why you listen to radio. That's why you do what you do here, because we know it better than anybody else, or at least as well, I would have to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's going on, Pete?
Well, we found out yesterday that the Patriots are moving to the ACC and they'll play Georgia Tech on Sunday. But I also found out, I forget, was on my wall or your wall? I forgot, but somebody just broke news that University of Hawaii will be joining the Big East this year. So that's going to be a lot of traveling for some of the Big East teams to fly out there. So.
I like that, though. That's a good trip for me. That's a great trip for me, in fact, huh?
Unbelievable. You know, the Bills are a little banged up, too, you know. Reading the Buffalo papers today. And I'll tell you some interesting players who you might find this interesting. Steven Johnson, not nearly at full speed. He's got a groin injury. Wide receiver for the Bills. I mean, that's kind of big. McGee didn't practice today. That's huge that he didn't practice today. And, so, I mean, that's, you know, it's interesting. So everybody's a bit banged up, but I think you have to feel a little concerned about the secondary, especially what Kevin just said. If Chung is not going to be able to go, and I'm not sure that's going to be the case. I'll reserve judgment until if he practices tomorrow.
Me too.
Because I have a feeling he's going to go. If at all possible, he's going to play in this game. But
I think so too. By the way, Steve just hit me up on Facebook. He says NFL.com has an option to pay as well for the radio broadcast. It's called the Audio Pass. So you can get it on NFL.com, and I know you can get it on SiriusXM. So there you go. There are your options for listening to Gil and Gino via the internet.
You know what else I think is interesting? I brought it up yesterday in the second game last year. And again, we all the preamble. It's every season's a different island. All that crap. But Tom Brady last year in the second game in Buffalo only threw for 140 yards. John, they still won by 31. 140 yards. All right, he did throw three touchdown passes, but they were in close. It wasn't like he was throwing bombs. But Woodhead and the law firm destroyed them in the second game last year. So maybe it comes down to which running game. I think you talked about it earlier. Maybe it's Freddie Jackson and company and the law firm and Woodhead. But I find it interesting that Brady statistically kind of had, you know, he was barely over at like 54% passing for 140 yards, and they still won by 31 points last year. That to me is a little, can be frightening, you know.
And it will be. And it will be. All right, you got B-Lo coming up on the
yes,
show.
Yes, B-Lo's first in the fantasy football lowdown, and then more Pats Bills in the second hour. We got some Kevin was in the locker room. We got some interesting sound you might want to hear from Barrett and some others, and Vince Wilfork from today. So lots coming up today, and of course your phone calls and emails.
Yeah, Josh Barrett saying that they may be preparing for the game without, you know, Pat Chung. So we'll see.
And Barrett's not 100%.
Nope.
Nowhere near either. So.
Secondary is banged up. That's why, you know, I think you have to at least think that Buffalo's got a puncher's chance here.
Fantasy football's dream coming up for Buffalo and Patriots as far as yardage goes could be.
The final word today coming up to Gene in Daytona, who says, I see this as a tough game. Chan Gailey has done a great job getting his guys to believe in themselves and each other. Chan just needs to convince the fans of that. My son lives in Buffalo. He says the fans are overly pessimistic about the Bills, based mainly on recent history against the Pats. Bills' problem is that they're running into Tom Brady right now, and Tom's in a zone playing with an additional purpose. I watched Tom's last bowl game at Michigan that he won. He had a look in his eyes that I see now. He says, my prediction is Bills 27, Pats 31. So he's like Eric Negativino, thinking it's going to be a little bit closer than a lot of people give it
credit.
What
does that mean in Italian?
Negativino?
Yeah. Is that type of pasta?
It's a good
Fragile.
One. Whatever it is.
Italian.
Whatever it is, I don't want a dish of that. All right, Pete Shepard is coming up next.
Ooh-ah.
And we'll just do it. We'll recap. We'll nitpick next Tuesday. Right?
I'm going to fake an injury. Can you stay around a couple hours? I'm going to show how to do it on broadcasting. Cool down.
Wait. Pete's crumpled up in the corner over here. He's gone down. He's down. He's down. Quick.
Run 10 seconds off the clock.
Bring in the paddles. Next week here in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.